You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Time for the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson. Hey, over there is David Cohen. Hello, David.
Over here.
Over there. This is the Geeks Pub. It's not Tech Fan. Just in case, you know, we were expecting a whole nother show on this feed.
You know how you can tell it's not Tech Fan? Because it's called the Geeks Pub.
Well, you and I are doing this show, so... never mind. So we have got our season three bracket ready to go, and this one is a little unique in that television shows have now invaded the bracket, and we've got, 16 teams, if you will, 16 movies / TV shows.
16 properties.
Yeah. But I was thinking how we can expand this, because we've kind of said it's about comics and stuff, right? But I just think that we make it more geeky. Like The Last Starfighter is not based on a comic, but that totally should be in a bracket someday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're just doing it instead of the comic book thing. It's just geeky.
And, well, maybe what we could do is we could get each one turned into a video game, and then we can play the video game,
and whichever gets
the most points wins.
Yeah.
That was The Last
Starfighter. I think, yes, but I think we should use Tecmo Bowl to do it. So that's going to probably be on season four. We're going to expand it. And then when
eventually by season 20, it will be choosing random things from Wikipedia to each other.
Right.
Covering everything of everything.
Documentaries and commercials.
It'll be, which is better, a pig or banana?
Well, clearly a banana. I mean, that's, how dare you?
Well,
cause you would not see a banana hurt a pig, would you? But you would totally see a banana eat the, or a pig eat a banana.
But pigs make bacon, and everybody loves bacon.
I get a little tired of bacon.
How dare you?
I get a little tired.
Somebody doesn't eat bacon. Even I'm offended by that.
Yeah, I get the smell of bacon sometimes makes me a little queasy. I'm like, ugh. I know.
You know, we've just lost all our listeners just right there and then. They've all just stopped listening now. We might as well not bother recording the rest.
Well, it has hooves, isn't that the sign of the beast?
Well, that's why I don't eat it.
Yes. Totally normal.
But not everybody's me. I'm sure there must be a variant of the banana that has a cloven hoof.
Let's before we get into our bracket, let's talk about some of the cool things, not so cool things going on in the geeky world. I have not seen the movie. Kevin Costner's Horizon came out. I've been hearing about this.
You put this in the notes, and I went, "What is that?" I've never.
Right, that's the thing. So Kevin Costner famously is leaving the Yellowstone franchise.
Right.
I tried to get into Yellowstone, and I just couldn't. But I got into one of the prequels, which has Harrison Ford in it and Helen Mirren, and that one was excellent. And there's like five episodes and then nothing. It's really strange. I'm like, was that the whole season? Or is there more? It's weird. I haven't seen Horizon. And I know it's this great American epic expanding into the West, and because we've never seen those movies before. But okay, it's Kevin Costner, it's the West. I know it's a passion project. The West in the olden days and baseball are his two big passion things, okay? Yeah. So I know he's bankrolling a whole lot of this himself. And it was scheduling conflict and maybe creative differences, I don't know. That's leading him away from Yellowstone, and this is he filmed these movies back to back, part one and part two, but it's supposed to be five movies altogether. And that's pretty ambitious. And there's some big heavy hitters in this movie, too. And the previews, the trailers, make it look great. I have no intention of going to the theater to see it. Well, this is the kind that I know it'll look better on a giant screen, but I've got a giant screen in my living room. I'd rather watch it at home.
The problem is, Westerns, they come and go in fashion.
Yep.
And obviously, you know, Kevin Costner himself hit a peaked a particular wave of Westerns in the 1990s.
Twice. He hit two of them. I thought this would be a big hit. I really did. If you watch the trailer, you're like, yeah, that looks really Oscar caliber acting.
I think the problem, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's very, very good if that's what you like. The problem. The question is, first of all, is that what people want to watch right now? I'm not sure they do. And secondly, if they do, they've got loads of Westerns to watch all on TV, including Yellowstone, the property he's just left.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Who knows what people want to watch? People don't want to watch something until it comes out, and then now all of a sudden that's the next big thing.
Well, yeah, but the other thing is, of course, is that, like I said...
Wait, aren't you the guy that's always like, they got to try new things and
start retreating?
Well, but, yeah, there you go.
But this isn't... This isn't a retread of an old thing, because big epic Westerns have been done, right? Unless you bring something new. The whole point, the reason that Dances with Wolves was so successful is because it was something different. It wasn't a traditional, you know, we got a group of good guys and we got a group of bad guys and they're going to end up in a big gunfight and then things happen in the end, right? Dances with Wolves wasn't like that. That's why it was so popular. This, from what I've heard and what I understand from reading this morning, because as I said, apparently nobody's promoting this movie because I had
nobody.
No idea it even existed.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, which is a problem in itself, and that also suggests that the industry doesn't have a lot of confidence in this movie. But putting that to one side, this is just another one of these. It's basically it's Yellowstone again, all right? Over a big, you know, it's a big epic. You know, he's got a family and he's going to do this and he's going to do that, and boring. I think that's the problem with it, is the premise sounds boring.
Yeah, I think the premise doesn't sound great to some people. I just want a good movie.
Well, yeah, but the issue is that we just had a good Western movie.
Which one?
Loads of Oscars, which was Flowers of the Killer Moon.
Oh, yeah, that was really
good. Which was a crime Western. And again, one of the reasons
that it really wasn't a Western, though.
Exactly. That is exactly the point. One of the reasons that was successful is it is a Western setting, but it was a different movie. It was a crime movie.
It wasn't a Western setting either. It was in the 20s. The Westerns are in the 1800s.
Yeah, but it had a Western feel to it. The thing is that I think there are opportunities in the Western genre, but you've got to kind of use that as the backdrop, but do something different. Not, you know, the problem is Costner's movies in particular fetishize the West, and I don't think that is what people have got an appetite for at the moment, particularly at the we've got civil conflict in our lives day by day at the moment. We've got wars going on, we've got people who have crappy lives and all of that, and to be shown that in the 1800s, which is what the Western genre was, it's about people triumphing over, you know, pretty horrible conditions and adversity. I don't think that's particularly attractive to people at the moment.
I don't know. I would disagree with you. Well, that we do that with everything. Yeah. I would disagree only in that I think if it's a great movie, people are going to go see it.
Yep.
And because at the end of the day, we just want escapism. We don't know what we want. Steve Jobs famously said that. You don't ask the buyer what they want because they don't know what they want until you give it to them. You know, he did that over and over and over again at Apple. Hollywood... Yeah. I think traditionally has been very good at giving us stuff that we didn't know we want until we got it. And I don't see this as a negative thing as far as coming out with a Western, especially if it's going to be five parts. Great. Maybe it's going to be fantastic. Maybe it's a new Godfather. I don't know. But if the studio is going to back this movie, then they need to back it, put some marketing behind it. I think that's the biggest thing here. Now, the news for us anyways is that Horizon 2, which was supposed to come out in August, there's going to be a 2 month between the two movies, has now been pushed back. They're not saying when it's coming out. It is still going to hit theaters. And the reasoning is because this movie completely flopped in theaters, they're hoping it finds an audience in streaming, which it's totally going to. That's where people are going to watch this. I don't care how big of a scope the movie is. People want to watch movies at home. And I don't know what this means long-term for the five-movie arc. I doubt if it's ever going to be five movies. Unless a new streaming service or a desperate one comes in and says, we have to have content, let's go ahead and pay for these other three movies, because that's 3 years in a row we've got at least one big hit on our hands, because I think it will find its footing in streaming. Unless it's on Peacock, and then nobody will freaking watch it. So we'll see.
But the problem is, the first one, this first one apparently cost $50 million to make, which is, by modern standards, relatively cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yet it's not made its even its production budget back. I can't imagine it has a particularly big marketing budget, because as we've said, nobody's marketed it.
Nobody's seen it.
But the problem is, even at $50 million, can it make money on streaming? Because
I don't understand the marketing. I don't understand the business behind streaming anyways. If they're just showing how many people subscribe because of this thing, I don't know how many people are watching it. I mean, I don't know.
Presumably a network pays to show it, but they pay to show it based on what they think people are going to want. How many people are going to watch it? Mm-hmm. I don't imagine they settle that bill. I don't think they toss up the people who watched it to the end. And apparently on Netflix, that's a really important metric, is they know when people watch it through to the end.
I don't know.
And then I don't imagine that they, I don't know what the deal is. Do they pay per view effectively? I don't understand. But what I do understand is I'm not sure a $50 million movie that was planned for the theaters and has been successful, I'm not sure it can recover its production costs just by streaming. And that puts, I mean, right, the second one's already in the can, maybe.
It is.
I've got to be honest. I don't understand this idea of you have an untried movie that you've never done before. And even before it comes out, you're talking about doing five movies. I don't see the
rationale,
the business rationale behind that. Because basically everyone's going, well, you know, everyone's thinking, no matter what they might say to you in Hollywood offices, they're all going, oh, yeah, well, let's see how the first one does before we put any money.
Well, that's,
you know.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, to me, you're just setting yourself up for failure if you say, well, we've got a five movie arc going on here. Especially as these epic movies tend to be long, you know. I don't really get it, to be honest, but anyway, who knows? I'm not in the business, but
I like Kevin Costner movies. Even his stinkers, I've kind of enjoyed. Waterworld, I actually kind of liked Waterworld.
I enjoyed Waterworld. I never saw The Postman.
The Postman, I think, is way better than Waterworld. Yeah. The Postman is a good movie.
The Postman is based on a post-apocalyptic Western. He sure likes his Westerns.
Yeah, well, find your lane, right?
Yeah, well, do what you love. He's certainly done that, and he's got the... Look, he financed half of this. He put in $28 million himself.
Yeah.
Admittedly, over two movies, so not one. But I worry the fact that the industry is not backing him on this is, they're kind of setting him up to fail.
Kind of seems that way, but I don't know. Inside baseball, we're not a part of the team, so.
Does the second one have any aliens or lasers in it?
Of course, duh. It's part of Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's the one Captain America shows up by mistake.
Was Harrison Ford in one with... Oh, no, it was Harrison Ford. It was the Daniel Craig was in the one with Cowboys and Aliens.
Well, that was Harrison Ford, too.
It was Harrison Ford as well. Okay.
It was terrible. Back in 2021, height of the COVID pandemic, everybody's at home. Everybody's streaming everything. Marvel drops WandaVision. And it was... I think it's still one of the best Marvel television productions yet. You know, each episode was fit into a different television genre. And it was just, we have never seen anything quite like it.
It was certainly very creative. Yep,
the acting was great. There was a couple of misdirections which we didn't appreciate, like Quicksilver from the X-Men series showing up, and it turns out that's not the same guy. We were like, ugh. But as a whole, I think most people really enjoyed WandaVision.
Yeah, they kind of whiffed the ending, but
yeah, well, it's still a Marvel project. Wouldn't be Marvel if they didn't whiff the ending.
It would be Marvel if it didn't have a terrible third act.
Yeah,
but and I think the misdirection is some of what really made it very, very good.
Yeah,
it's the fact that there were minor characters who you just didn't realize how important they were, and then all of a sudden it was like, wow, it was them all along.
So Agatha was kind of the protagonist in that movie, or antagonist.
That's right. And again,
but not really, because
you didn't see it coming.
Right.
Because I have to say, all credit to them. They really buried that one. And that was what was clever, is all the Quicksilver stuff and everything, and the stuff that was going on outside the, you know, the shield stuff that was going on outside the bubble, we all thought, well, that was the important stuff. And then the actual antagonist was buried, completely hidden, right in plain sight. And that's what made it great. It's just a shame that it.
But the lady who plays her is just fantastic. I mean, she just chews the scenes up. You really, really like her. And then Marvel, shortly after the series ended, Agatha All Along TV series is coming. And I thought, okay, maybe it'll be good. Well, the new trailer dropped for this last week. And I got to say, I'm really interested. How the hell did she become a cop? What the hell's going on?
Well, I think they're doing a bit of WandaVision thing here. Is they're playing with genres.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be honest. I started watching the trailer and I saw that they're doing True Detective with Agatha as the True Detective. That's how it starts. And I struggled to I knew that she'd put a spell on her, but I couldn't remember what she'd done.
She depowered her.
She depowered her, but I couldn't remember what else she did. And so I found myself watching it thinking, oh, was this set up in the previous show or not? I've got to be honest. As the trailer went on, I became less and less interested in this. You know, because...
It's all going to be based on how the characters are. This is going to be a character-driven show. And if the supporting cast, who, to be honest, are really good, if they're good, I think it's going to be a hit.
But... It appears to the trailer.
You just don't like it because it's woman focused. Come on.
No, that's not why I don't like it. You know. If they were wearing bikinis, it would be a lot better.
Some of the actresses, maybe not.
Well, you know what? I reject your lack of body positivity energy. Thank you very much. The show is going to misdirect us, but the way the trailer is cut, it's like, oh, she's going to go on some sort of
quest.
anti-hero redemption arc to get her powers back. And I'm just thinking, I don't care. I really don't care in that. And she's assembling a team who are going to help her with that coven. And again, great as a lot of them look, I'm just thinking, this didn't grab me as a concept, you know? Because of course she's a bad guy. She was a bad guy in WandaVision. When she realizes what's been done to her, she's going to want to regain herself and get her powers back and maybe take some revenge. And I understand that, but it's just not interesting because that's a typical bad guy arc. I thought to myself, I really hope they don't show her discovering who she was right in the first episode. And yet in the trailer, first thing is somebody comes along and shows her who she really is. To me, it's far more interesting is to see her struggling as a depowered person without her memories and trying to get back to that. To me, that's a more exciting, more interesting journey. And you could do that by playing with genres, by putting her into these environments where, you know, the same kind of like they did with WandaVision, where, you know, every single thing, every single week, it's a different pastiche of a different TV show or something like that. That would be fun. That would be interesting. This, I unfortunately, by the end of the trailer, I was smelling the end of WandaVision, which didn't smell very good to me.
Yeah, I disagree with almost everything you said there, but good. I'm looking forward to it. It's one that I am definitely going to watch.
Don't get me wrong. I'm going to watch it. I mean, we watch all this stuff, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah, well, to our detriment sometimes.
Exactly.
I think it looks great.
I'm still smarting from Secret Wars.
Oh, that's so bad. But here's the thing. I think Marvel, let me rephrase that.
I know
Marvel
what you were going to say, and you are damn wrong.
I think Marvel has learned, Bob Iger's back too. I think that Marvel has learned, you know what? More isn't better. And they have scaled back. They have gone through some extensive researches or reshoots on some of their stuff because it wasn't working. And I do want to see that. Admit there's a problem and fix it.
Yeah.
And speaking of fixing it,
to say about Agatha, I mean, this is a teaser trailer. It could be completely unrepresentative of the actual show.
Yeah. Well, so if you saw WandaVision trailer when it first came out, we had no idea where it was going. And it was fantastic. So I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm giving it a thumbs up. I'm looking forward to it. But the next one is a huge thumbs up for me because I saw the trailer. You have two, Brave New World, Captain America. Harrison Ford's taking over as General Ross because, unfortunately, the original actor passed away. And I like how they talk about it right at the beginning. Well, you look different. Well, I had to lose a mustache. Brilliant. Yeah. That's all you need to say. Move on. Great. They didn't really show a whole bunch of the bad guys, if any. I mean, one. But other than that, I mean, boy, I tell you what, it kind of has given me original Captain America vibes as far as it feels like another spy type thriller type of thing, which was Winter Soldier. It's kind of given me that Winter Soldier vibe. That makes me very excited because I think that's where Captain America shines in solo movies.
And it looks as well, certainly from the trailer, that it's leaning into some of the questions that people have about Sam as Captain America, because, you know, there's even a line in it saying you might be Captain America, you aren't Steve Rogers. And of course, we are wondering how he's going to be really be Captain America when the fact is he has no powers. You know, apparently you can pick up throwing that vibranium shield in the afternoon with some trees and turn it into a super weapon. And we don't know how that's going to play. And obviously by having President now Ross in the center of it, and again they address that as well. It says we've never gotten along, but let's give this another go.
Well, he said you know, he's trying to win the election. That doesn't necessarily mean he's president, so he could just be a candidate. Okay. And of course anybody who knows the comic books know that General Ross eventually becomes the Red Hulk, which they totally show.
Yeah.
At the very end of the trailer, and the CGI of that was like, I was like, eh, but I'll wait for it to come out. I'm not going to comment on that yet. I think it's a very exciting looking movie. It comes out in February. I think it said, was it February? I think it was February of next year, which kind of worries me because February is where they kind of bury bad movies, but I don't know, who knows. It looks good though. It looks really good. Yeah, and I know that they did not just reshoots, but like they redid a whole lot of the script. Like this is not the movie that it was going to be.
Yeah, there was two whole characters who were inserted in the reshoots
because
they felt they needed them. So
that's exciting to me that they recognize their mistake. And it only excites me though because I just watched the trailer and it looks really good.
Yeah, I kind of hope that at one point in the future we get the original movie. Somebody who cuts it Snyder style, just so we can see what it could have been.
No,
I don't know.
I don't want to.
You know, look, I think these are testing times for Marvel. They've been on top for a long time, and now they're starting to wobble a bit. And I think it's and the difficulty they have is that a lot of these things that were carried along by the hype along through the years. You know, you go back and watch them again and they're not quite as good as you thought they were. There's been a couple I've seen on TV recently and I thought, you know, maybe I thought I really enjoyed it at the time. Now I can see some of the gaps. One of the things that's interesting about this one is it appears to be there's some sort of battle over the dead celestial in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah, you see the hand.
You see the hand and they appear to be fighting over it. And there's some kind of symbol with the hand in as well. So that... It's interesting that they're kind of leaning into the lore, the continuity of one of their stinker movies that people didn't like very much. So,
well, but do you know, I know why that's playing into the movie. Because that's going to be the source of adamantium.
Oh, right.
Which plays into Captain America's shield being vibranium, and here's another metal. So, you know what, this could be extremely bad, or it could be extremely good. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground with this. I'm looking forward to it. They've got my money. Not as much as Deadpool Wolverine does, which comes out in a couple of weeks, but...
Yeah, they've been promoting that over here pretty hard.
Yeah, here
and,
too.
You know, and yeah, I mean, this is one of the movies where even my wife saw it. She said, oh, we're going to go to the theater to see that, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, so here's the thing. I was reading... There's no spoilers, but some... I don't know if they're critics or somebody got to see the first 35 minutes. And the overwhelming response is this is completely restoring the Marvel Universe. This is amazing. And the one guy said, this gives me the feeling of magic back when it comes to Marvel. That's pretty high expectations.
It is, but that is very much dependent on the source material and the people playing it.
Well, we know two of the people and they're fantastic.
Well, exactly. I think we are dealing with people who have real love and reverence for the for these characters, and also, you know, they're the kind of guys who can lean into the tone.
Yes.
You know,
well, it's two character actors. Yeah. I don't know if I'd call them character actors, because Ryan Reynolds kind of plays the same role in everything. But
I'd say that Hugh Jackman has got more range, but
100%. You know, there's no question.
But I think the point is that these are two actors who really have the ability not to take themselves too seriously.
No, it's more than that. Here's what it is, David. These are two actors that love playing these characters.
Yeah, and also they love each other. They're very good friends, and the chemistry is going to come across, even though it's an old couple type chemistry. Yeah.
I'm going to see this in the theater. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something we were talking about, I think, either before or after last episodes of Tech Fan, was about the Transformers. So we actually put it in our notes. We're going to talk about this for a second before we get into our bracket. And when we get into our bracket for season 3, we're going to go through all the shows, I guess you would call it, movies and shows, that's going to be participating, and then we'll do a couple. Yeah, go ahead. Because I think you were the one that brought this up.
It's like the Transformers, right? They're living robots, right?
And they're in disguise. They even said that in the commercial.
They have this ability to scan something, and yeah, they're robots in disguise, and they can turn themselves into vehicles. Why? They live on a robot planet full of just their people. There's a big civil war. But at what point did they evolve the ability to scan an object and turn themselves into it as a disguise? Why would that happen on a planet full of other robots? Yeah, because presumably on a planet full of other robots, you know, you could be disguised, but if you disguise yourself as an earthbound car, you're going to stick out like a sort of thumb. What is all that about?
Right.
And then why did they come here?
Well, why did all the good guys drive and all the bad guys fly?
Yeah.
If you could turn into anything, and some dude's flying in the air or launching rockets.
Why not turn into a Star Destroyer?
Right. But here's the other thing, because you, like Starscream would turn into a plane and shoot rockets at people, right?
Yep.
Where do the rockets come from? Isn't that part of him?
They're out of his butt.
Yeah, is it poo? Is he shooting poo at people? That's really what I want to know.
And not only that as well, is that when they're in the robot form, they have these kick-ass weapons. Yeah. Big, powerful energy cannons and all this sort of thing. So why not be Bumblebee, but have energy cannons on the roof?
Right.
Wouldn't that be more practical
than
driving around as a car with no weapons, and then any time you need to shoot somebody, you need to jump up in the air and quickly transform back into a robot?
I don't know. The idea behind Transformers is it was a toy. It was a toy line
robot.
Because they made the cartoons because they were trying to promote the toy.
Exactly.
That's all it was.
Do you remember in Big when they spoofed it? Mm-hmm. Because in Big he gets turned into an adult, and he ends up working at the toy company, and because he's still a child in an adult's body, he ends up working almost like as a consultant. And so they show him, here we've got a building and it turns into a robot, you know, and they have the model there, and he goes, yeah, but what's fun about that?
Yeah.
You know, he said, so it's a building. He said, how can you play with that?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, yes, Transformers was the toy. You had a robot and a car in the same toy. That was the thing. But the fact it's become this huge multi-billion-dollar franchise, when it's just like ridiculous. It's just like, why?
I'm not nostalgic for Transformers, because when the toy line came out, I was in my teens.
Yeah.
So I was too old for Transformers. Star Wars and stuff like that was for us.
Even though those movies are typically Michael Bay excess movies, I've got to admit, the first one I really enjoyed, just because I thought the way they brought the Transformers to life was extremely cool.
The only one I enjoyed was Bumblebee. That was actually a good movie until the very end when they brought Optimus in. It's like, ugh. I liked the actress who also played Hawkeye in the new Hawkeye series.
Yeah.
I thought that was really
those movies
well
are also... those movies are also creaking under their own retcon continuity, which is ridiculous.
Well, but, did you see the animated thing that they got coming out?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that looks really good.
Yeah,
I thought that was. I totally. I'm in on that movie. But yeah, why do the Transformers makes no sense? And the main bad guy transforms into a gun. Okay. Why? I get it as a toy, but in the show, you just transformed into a gun. So as soon as you do, you just fall to the ground. You're hoping one of your lackeys picks you up
and shoots. Takes the safety off, cocks it, points it, and then hits what it's shooting at.
Why does one turn into a boombox? And then his little pails turn into cassette tapes and goes inside of him. Why? What?
If you think about that, that's deeply problematic.
I was avoiding that part of it, but what's the strategic benefit? Because when they turn into vehicles or things, because it's not just vehicles, I can understand the robots. Okay, they were there for a long time. They transformed into the thing, although they're still metal robots, so I don't know who they're disguising themselves from. But okay, and they're kind of dumb. Fine, but at least as a robot you can bite the shit out of people, right?
Yep.
Why a cassette tape?
So you can go in the boombox, obviously.
Right.
I say the problem is who has boomboxes now?
Right.
You remember boomboxes used to be not just physically huge, but they were a big market, and now they don't exist.
No.
You know, we all had one growing up. Mm-hmm. I had a few. They were, you know, they were kind of low-tech hi-fi.
I have mine from a kid. Hi-fi. It's by my 3D printer. You saw it in the picture that I sent.
Yeah, but obviously nobody uses them. Well, I guess people sometimes have the right.
I bought a Bluetooth adapter that I can plug into it and stream music to it. The problem is it sounds like garbage compared to modern speakers.
They didn't have good sound.
No, they did not.
They went
loud, actually, but they didn't sound good.
Yeah, the best source they were playing was FM radio, which wasn't that great.
Correct.
And then everything went down from there because tapes sounded like garbage, hissy garbage.
Yep.
The name is the clue's in the name, boombox. They were designed to just be loud.
Yep.
Not good.
No. So let's get into our bracket. This is season 3. We're going to start at the top and work our way down. These are our competitors for this season. Let me move my window over here so I don't have to look at an angle here. When these are randomly generated, I use a website and it doesn't matter. I didn't put them in any particular order, going against anybody in a particular order. It was completely random. So starting at the top, so obviously every two are going against each other initially. Guardians of the Galaxy from 2014, Superman Returns from 2006, Batman Forever in 1995, Agent Carter, which is a TV show, ran from 2015 to 2016. Spawn, 1997. Darkman, 1990. Jessica Jones from 2015 to 2019. That was three seasons, but I'll be honest with you, I don't remember the third season at all. But it's got an uphill battle because it's going to go against WandaVision from 2021. The Flash from 2014 to 2023. I didn't realize it ran for 9 years.
Yeah, no, it was a long show. That's the CW version.
Yep. Yeah. American Splendor, which David has never seen. And that's from 2003. Miss Marvel from 2022. That's a TV show. I've heard that they're bringing it back for another season, which I welcome.
Yep.
X-Men Days of Future Past from 2014. Which, if you don't remember it, that's okay. We'll get into that eventually. Constantine from 2005, that was
the Keanu Reeves.
And they're talking about him revisiting that role, which I'm for. Go for it. Preacher from 2016 to 2019, and David watched maybe one or two episodes.
Yep.
You didn't finish it.
I didn't.
Yeah, you and 99.9% of the people who started it. By the way, Preacher is one of my favorite comic book series of all time. It's so good. Watchmen 2019. I thought we had done that, but I guess we hadn't.
So that's not the movie. That's the TV show.
No, that's the movie. No, that's the TV show. Sorry.
TV show. Yeah. I think it's important to say that because one is better than the other.
Yes.
And, okay.
And the TV show is way better than the movie.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because it's based on the characters from the TV show, but it was never a comic book. They went a completely different direction. And then The Wolverine, 2013. So we've got some pretty good stuff in here, and some of it's not pretty good. But we're going to start at the top, and that's Guardians of the Galaxy from 2014 against Superman Returns from 2006.
Right. Do we even need to have this conversation?
We do a little bit because... Look, Guardians of the Galaxy was amazing, right?
Yeah.
We know this is going to win.
I think it was transformational when Guardians of the Galaxy came out because it really was something. I mean, we've been talking, we're talking about Deadpool and that sort of thing. That was another thing where they took an existing property and rather than doing the standard Marvel thing with it, they had people, creators behind it who tweaked it in a completely different direction, and it was transformative. It literally was. They took a Guardians of the Galaxy, they took a team that wasn't particularly popular in the comics, was part of the cosmic thing, which you never really thought might, because obviously the early Marvel movies were, even though they were superhero movies, they were grounded in a reality aesthetic.
Yes.
You know, the first Iron Man movie was done in a way you almost believe that somebody with the right intelligence and technology could actually build a suit like that. Whereas Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, they're in alien heads and they fly through ships.
Well, the joke at the time was DC saying they don't know how to do a Wonder Woman movie correctly. And on the other side, here's Marvel going, here's a talking raccoon.
Yeah,
and exactly. And Guardians is such a good movie. It's almost a perfect superhero movie, if you will, or a comic book movie. Each character 100% gets their correct amount of screen time. The way they introduce the characters is perfect. The setup on how they come together in the middle and how they become a team at the end and win. Everything about this movie is just... It's almost a perfect movie when it comes to that stuff.
It is, yeah. I have, again, as very often with Marvel, I think the third act has some problems, but up until that point, it is pretty much perfect. And you're right, the thing that made this movie is the characterization of some very odd characters was absolutely spot on.
But you buy into this movie within 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it starts out with a kid on Earth basically getting... An alien abduction. He gets abducted while his mom is dying.
Yeah.
You know, his mom wants him to come here. I want to give you a hug. And obviously the kid can't deal with this kind of a situation. He runs out of the room and gets abducted. That's a pretty powerful start right there.
And the narrative framing, the idea is the idea of this fish out of water. And the thing he anchors himself onto is this tape of Earth music.
In movies that he refers to and stuff like that.
But the music is the centerpiece. Yes. The fact is that during all of the big set pieces of this movie, the music is there to kind of bring this cosmic stuff back to
and grounds it.
James Gunn very very carefully grounds it using that music, mm-hmm. and it's very very clever because it connects it to us. Because we have our protagonist, you know, and particularly as well, this is a protagonist who's absolutely faking it to make it.
Yes.
You know, he's nowhere near as clever and as cool as he thinks he is.
Well,
and
in Endgame, Ronnie looks at What's-Her-Face and says, he's an idiot. And he's an idiot. They never play him like he's actually a lot smarter. No, he's always an idiot.
Yeah, I think over the course of the movies, he becomes more of a leader and all of that sort of thing.
But he still makes extremely dumb mistakes. Because if it wasn't for him, they could have got Thanos' gauntlet in Infinity War. But he lets his emotions run wild. He screws up. He messes the whole plan up. And that's Peter Quill in a heartbeat. I mean,
exactly. And he keeps doing that over and over again through the movies, even after Endgame. And in the third movie, it's the same, same deal.
So obviously, this is going to win. But we do need to talk about Superman Returns because what DC tried to do is take the Christopher Reeves Superman and bring him more modern. And they found an actor who I don't think gets enough credit. I think he did play a really good Superman in a really bad script.
Yes.
And look, there's so many plot holes in this movie, but and not just plot holes, but mischaracterizations that Superman is using his powers to spy on Lois. Super creepy.
You know what? The whole you've got a son thing. I kind of partly had a real problem with
it. I did too.
I appreciated with what they tried to do with this movie. I think Bryan Singer, who produced and directed it, had so much love for the Christopher Reeve series, and he wanted to do almost like a memorial to it by bringing it up to date, and he just kind of failed.
It failed.
Yeah. But it's one of these movies that for some reason is less than the sum of its parts. Somebody who really, you're right, Brandon Routh, who is also in, has done a lot of work in the CW, is a fantastic actor.
And he revisits the Superman character.
He revisits Superman. Yeah, exactly. He is a brilliant actor. And, you know, this was one of his very first roles. And to take that role on and even get halfway close to how good he is in this, he really does.
He's a great Superman. There's no question about it. It's just the movie itself is awful.
Yeah, he very much echoes the performance of Christopher Reeve. You buy him as Superman straight away. I think the problem was the script itself was kind of interesting, but in some respects, I think they needed to. I mean, one of the criticisms of the original Superman was that Lex Luthor is this uber villain, and yet he's trying to do land deals. That's his way of taking on the planet. And in this one, he's still trying to do that. And it's just like, please.
And the actor they got for him is a great actor. But I don't know. I just didn't buy him.
I kind of enjoyed his performance. I thought he probably was a better Lex Luthor than Gene Hackman. Because he really... Hush your mouth.
No, don't say another word. Hush your mouth.
He really nailed the ruthlessness that was, I think, was slightly lacking in Gene Hackman's.
Yeah, but that's a 70s movie. I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
Gene Hackman could have totally gone that route, but he was having fun with it.
Yeah, but.
Did you hear the story about how Richard Donner got him to shave his mustache?
No.
So he kept telling. Gene Hackman had no problems with the bald wig. Yeah. But he said, Richard Donner said, Lex Luthor does not have a mustache. Now, remember, this is the 70s.
Yeah.
And as a guy who has a mustache, I get this, too. And he had just come off shows like or movies like The French Connection and stuff. He was a big actor in the 70s. Most people probably don't know that, but if you're of a certain age, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Hackman was amazing. His best role, I think, is Hoosiers, but regardless.
Yeah, he was like the De Niro or Al Pacino of his day.
Yeah.
Because he was older than they were, so he's more established.
So Richard Donner said, you have to shave the mustache. And Gene Hackman did not want to shave the mustache, period. He was pretty adamant about it. So Richard Donner said they were going to get together, and Richard Donner hatched a plan. So they get together, and Richard Donner says, if you shave your mustache, I'll shave mine. So Gene Hackman agrees and shaves his mustache, comes back into the room, and Richard Donner pulls off his fake mustache. I read this in a book about this different stories and stuff like that. And it had been corroborated. Yeah. I can't say it sometimes. By Gene Hackman. So that it actually did happen. That's how he got him to shave his mustache. He faked him out. I think that's brilliant. Funny. But, you know, Batman Returns had so much promise. The trailer was amazing.
And also Superman Returns, which is the movie we were talking about.
Which one did I say?
You said Batman Returns.
Yeah, Superman. But there's no question Guardians are winning.
Lois Lane was miscast.
Yes.
The plot about him having a son
was terrible.
It just didn't make any sense. Mm-mm.
And he's going to build an island now, Lexus. It's so bad.
Yeah, but having said that, some of the set pieces, I thought the
when he rescues the plane, that's awesome.
But yeah, exactly. And also, you know, when he kind of saves Metropolis from the earthquake. That's also kind of awesome. It's a sort of,
I don't even remember.
But there should have been more of that in the movie, and there wasn't.
No,
there wasn't very much Superman in the Superman movie of him being super.
And that's the problem.
It was a misfire. But
the whole thing that
effort.
Superman comes back. It's been what, 8 years or something?
Five years. He's gone to.
Even though the kid's way older than five, how does that work? But whatever.
He's gone to Krypton.
But Clark Kent returns at the same time, and no one's like, huh, stupid. Just so many plot holes. Optimus Prime could have driven through some of these plot holes. So Guardians moves on. The next one, I think it's a no-brainer. Batman Forever from 1995. Now, was that Val Kilmer or was that...
I think wasn't Batman Forever the George Clooney?
I don't know. I'm looking it up. Batman Forever... 1995 film. No, it's Val Kilmer.
Oh, it's the Val Kilmer.
Yeah, and it's the one with Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face.
Yeah.
Which you could tell he didn't want to do this movie. He's in it, but you could tell he is somewhat phoning it in. He's not... It's a paycheck. Jim Carrey is the Riddler, who was great in the role, but he's just Jim Carrey. He's not... He's a goof ass in this movie, which is not what the Riddler should be.
The problem with this one is this is when the production design really started to take over everything else.
Yeah.
And it became toys. All about style and no substance.
Well, it became about the toys.
Yeah.
Nicole Kidman is a doctor love interest to Batman. No one cares. And then the worst casting in the world, Chris O'Donnell as Robin. Are you kidding me? They got an adult ass... Robin that's the same age as Batman pretty much. It made no sense. This movie was just, it was bad. It's just a bad movie. This is why the comic book movies had such, this one in particular, had such a decline after the first two Batman movies, because Batman 1 and 2 was great. Superman was great. And then we hit that mid-90s where superhero movies were just complete garbage until X-Men and Spider-Man came out, right?
Yeah.
So we can agree on that. So, just so bad. But yet, on the opposite side of that is Agent Carter. It was an ABC series. It wasn't, you know, Marvel streaming or anything. So it was on ABC at the same time that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was on. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I believe Agent Carter was two seasons, or is it one?
No, it's two seasons.
Two seasons.
It got substantially retooled for the second season, which kind of made it even worse than it had been before.
You think it was worse? I thought the first season was great. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but the second season was much, much worse because they changed a lot of it around.
I don't remember the second season.
It was on live. Well, I don't think many people watched the second season. It was, as I recall, it was heavily delayed as well. I feel bad for Hayley Atwell, who plays... Agent Carter in this. So for anybody who didn't see it, this was effectively a continuation of her character from the first Captain America
movie. It takes place about 10 years after Captain America ends. That's right. Post-World War II. It's now the 1950s.
And she's moved to America.
And it's the start of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's the start of S.H.I.E.L.D. So she starts in the American Secret Services, and then she ends up becoming... her co-star in it is what's his name? Howard Stark's butler, Jarvis.
Yes.
Who obviously is the inspiration for the Jarvis AI that comes later on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jarvis is kind of like the like a super Alfred to Howard Stark's character. And you don't see Howard Stark very much in it. When he is in, he's pretty good. He's played by the same actor who's played in Captain America. Who later on the list also played the Preacher in Preacher. This was a really fun show. It really delved into the setting and there's a big undercurrent of the fact that nobody in the security services took her seriously because she was a woman.
Which made sense for the 1950s.
She was better than everyone. It was you remember that cartoon series Hong Kong Phooey?
Vaguely.
You remember that? Yeah. Vaguely. So in Hong Kong Phooey, the dog janitor turns into a superhero called Hong Kong Fooey. But in fact, it's the policeman's cat who solves all the crimes, and Hong Kong Fooey takes the credit, even though he's incompetent. So it's very much what happens in Agent Carter, is that she solves everything all the time, and then all the men around her who have had nothing to do with it take the credit, you know, and pat her on the head and, you know, do the typing and all this sort of thing. That was the first season. It was really, really good. Second season, they moved it from, I think it moved it from New York to Los Angeles. It basically, the second season wasn't anywhere near as good, and you could tell it was on a death spiral. And I feel bad for her, because she really didn't get a chance to really crack that character and give it the, you know, the yes. The due it deserves. And we've seen with what they've done when she was, what was her name, Captain Britain in What If.
No, and yeah. Well, she actually played it live action too for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
And she goes toe to toe with Wanda, and she was the last avenging person in that movie before she ate it.
Yeah, she was awesome, and it's a shame that this didn't last longer. But that was back when, I mean, had streaming been a bigger thing back then, it would have been on streaming. It probably would have done better.
I agree. But I think ABC had good intentions. They had the wrong people running the shows. Or at least the creative team, because they didn't know what to do with this character. It was kind of the first season was kismet. It really was. And then, like you said, they didn't know what to do with the character. It should have been one and done. But so, I still think it's way better than Batman Returns.
I would definitely agree. I would definitely take this one forward rather than Batman Forever, which really was a forever stain on the Batman franchise.
Yep. We're going to do one more, so we're not doing all the first four. We're just doing the first three. Okay. 1997 Spawn against 1990s Darkman. Now, Spawn, if you weren't into comic books in the 90s, there was this big creator revolt against DC and Marvel. It was creators who were revitalizing the comic book industry, coming up with new characters, but they weren't getting any credit or a lot of money for it, and they wanted more creative input in these characters that they were creating, and the focus really was on the artist, not the writers. Although it was the artists get credit for the design, and if it's not a cool design, we're not interested. But at the end of the day, it's all about the writer and the characterization.
The story's got to be right.
This big creative revolt happens. Todd McFarlane, who made his bones on the Hulk and then really got big on Spider-Man, leaves Marvel to help form Image Comics. And his big one, and the big comic coming out of Image, is going to be Spawn. And it's these swirling chains instead of spider webs. It's a big cape.
It's a little bit, it's kind of inspired by the Ghost Rider. This is a guy who went to hell and was given an opportunity to come back as a superhero to retrieve people and take them back to hell. That's what Spawn is all about. And he has, you know, he has the, much like the Ghost Rider has the motorbike and all of that, he has this cape and these chains that kind of are almost independent of him, that allow him to do amazing things. And Spawn was an incredibly cool character.
Cool looking.
Yeah.
And the concept was cool, but the stories were terrible.
Yeah, but everyone was kind of excited when they said they were going to do a movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? I remember enjoying the movie. Mm-mm. I don't think it holds up.
It was bad even at the time. I remember watching it, and then when it was over, I was like, that was terrible. That was awful in every single way. It was just bad acting. Yeah. It was the special effects were terrible, even for 97. To me, there's nothing redeeming about Spawn 1997. I know they're talking about rebooting it, and I'm like, why? But Darkman, on the other hand, is kind of a dark horse hit in some respects. Liam Neeson, it's one of his first big roles.
Yeah, and this was one of those ones where the concept was really clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, with Dark, like, kind of was, this was a Sam Raimi movie, as I recall.
Yeah.
So
it's super campy.
Yeah,
this but guy it's not knows trying what, to be campy. That's the issue with it.
This guy knows what he's doing, and he created something that was, you know, we talked about Superman not being the sum of its parts. This was more than the sum of its parts. It had some fairly ropey special effects.
Yep.
But the actual core concept and the way that Liam Neeson delivered it, which is absolutely straight down the line,
yep.
which was what the character needed, was amazing. So the setup for this is that this is a guy who's working on artificial skin. And he has basically gotten it to the point where it's pretty good, but it only lasts for 2 hours. And then anyway, because movies, he ends up crossing some bad guys and they trash his lab and kill or try and kill him.
Yeah, he's disfigured really bad.
They basically blow his lab up for reasons which I can't really remember. And he gets ejected by the explosion out into the harbour. And yeah, he's basically burnt from head to toe. And so he's fished out the harbour and taken to the hospital. And what the hospital decide to do to him for some reason, which again is comics or movies, is they basically disconnect his nervous system so he can't feel any pain. Otherwise, the pain would drive him mad, right? So he is this disfigured mess. And to get revenge, he ends up becoming the Dark Man, which is basically he's going to get revenge on the criminals who did this to him. And have they killed or abducted his wife? I forget.
Anyway, I don't really remember either.
No, I think she's in peril during the movie. But the thing is, because he basically retrieves enough from his lab to be able to reconcoct the skin, and he uses that to make himself look like the bad guys so that he can mess with them. And of course, yeah, because he's driven by this rage and the fact that he has no pain, when he's in his Dark Man thing, which is basically wearing a hat and an overcoat, yeah, he is he's fairly unstoppable because he can't feel anything. And yeah, he's got the strength and all of that. It's very, very silly. But as I say, they play it straight down the line.
Frances McDormand is in it, who's brilliant. And Bruce Campbell's in it.
Yep, that's right, because it was Sam Raimi again. Yep. But the best thing about it was the guy who played the head villain. He camped it up, and he was so good.
Yeah, Larry Drake.
Larry Drake. He went on to play, what's his name, the simple office boy in L.A. Law.
Yeah, Drake's a good actor.
Yeah. And anyway, yeah, it's one of these things where it was much better than it deserved to be.
Yes.
Absolutely wins this over Spawn, I'll tell you that for nothing. Unfortunately, they tried to cash into it. They made a number of direct-to-TV sequels, which weren't direct-to-video sequels, which weren't anywhere near as good. But, you know, these sorts of movies happened back then where somebody would, you know, come up with something original and actually get the budget to turn it into a movie. Obviously, they always hoped to turn it into a franchise. But, yeah, if you get a chance to watch Dark Man, you'll have a good time.
There was three movies, so they kind of did.
Yeah, but as I said, the second ones were just direct-to-video cash-ins.
Yeah.
I don't think Liam Neeson appeared again.
No, he didn't.
He was
busy calling people on the phone and saying, I will find you.
Well, no, but this is the thing. This was many, many years before.
Yeah, it was 1990. I mean,
right? Yeah. And back then it showed he could carry this sort of thing. And then Taken came along. And if you've ever heard the story of Taken, nobody thought it was going to be a big hit. Right. It was literally just like it was a cash in movie. And it was one of those things where, you know, we've got something, if we can get a bigger star, it will get bigger coverage. And they got Liam Neeson, and he just I forget the reasons why, but he just decided to take it. He wasn't taking it very seriously.
Well, he wasn't a big actor at the time either.
This was post Star Wars though, wasn't it?
Taken. Yeah, but that wasn't a big bump in his career. Taken was the one that made him a star.
I think the reason was he wasn't really interested in being a star back then. I think he was just a jobbing out. His wife had died. His wife died in tragic circumstances. Yep. You know, she kind of fell over on a ski. She was one of Vanessa Redgrave's daughters. She fell over on a ski slope, banged her head, and died. It was really, really awful. And so I think for a few years he didn't do very much. And I think he just did this for the paycheck. But he's Liam Neeson, which means he's awesome.
Yep.
And it turned Taken into a huge, huge thing and turned him into a big star. But this is the very early days of him doing exactly that same thing, because he's a great actor.
Yes.
You know, he elevates even the trashiest material.
He does. The A-Team was a terrible movie, but Liam Neeson is still, he's good in it.
He was a very good Hannibal Smith.
He was.
And that was really tough, because then you really are taking on a character.
An iconic character.
Yeah, and he made it his own, yeah, absolutely.
So congratulations to The Dark Man from 1990 Moves On, and when we come back in a few weeks, we're going to have Jessica Jones against WandaVision, The Flash against American Splendor, and maybe Miss Marvel against Days of Future Past, which is the next X-Men movie. And of course, we'll probably have our review of Deadpool v. Wolverine, or I guess it's Deadpool and Wolverine. And I'm dying to see that movie. So, David, I'll see you probably in a week on TechFan.
See you then.